stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
As the old saying goes, if you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. But if you give him a Berkey system, you give him the ability to obtain purified water for a lifetime. This year, when giving Christmas gifts, instead of unwanted trinkets, give a meaningful and substantial gift. Berkey systems are ideal for every member of your family, especially the young ones in college. Unlike other water filtration systems, Berkey purifiers are portable. They require no plumbing, and the elements don't have to be replaced every 4 to 6 months. Perfect for anyone on a tight budget. And more importantly, if there's an unexpected emergency, your loved ones will be prepared. That's because Berkey systems are able to purify raw, untreated water. Check out our Christmas specials at Berkey.
This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be those of Larry Pratt of Gun Owners of America. Hey, Larry, how are you doing?
Stan, I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, I just hope we can have you on a regular basis every month so you can keep us abreast of what's going on as far as the Second Amendment is concerned, because I think there's never been a more important time in the history of our nation than right now. So you bring us up to date. What's going on back in Washington, D.C.?
Well, it's been a pretty fast ride already. A new administration, a Marxist. And one of the things Marxists are very keen on is disarming the citizenry. And we've seen action already in the Congress. The most successful they've been so far has been to have a gun vote where nobody saw it as a gun vote. It was buried deep in the actual government stimulus bill. I call it the government stimulus bill because that's the one part of America that will be stimulated by that stimulus bill. And $20 billion in that bill went for something, didn't have guns once mentioned in it, but $20 billion, can't even hardly say it, went for establishing by mandate, but funding, a uniform database of everybody's medical records so that when the FBI is doing a background check, they can just access all of that. And if anybody has a medical record that the FBI deems as somebody that might be a danger to self or others, regardless of it having been proven in court, just the fact that it's on a medical record, gazunk, there go your firearms freedoms. You will not be able to buy a gun. You will not be able to renew a concealed carry permit. That was done, which actually puts feet on funds the Veterans Disarmament Act that you've allowed me to talk about in the past, which targeted veterans simply because their records were one of the main groups of the population where the records were already computerized. And the Veterans Administration has been sending those records over to the FBI so that those people can't buy firearms. But now, even though the Veterans Disarmament Act really did target everybody, the money wasn't there. Well, I'd say $20 billion puts the money there.
Well, you know, the interesting thing about this, Larry, is when President Obama talked about this, he said, you know, we want to protect the privacy of your medical records. So we're protecting the privacy of your medical records by putting them electronically up on the Internet where the government can know everything about your most intimate personal details. He didn't say that, but he put this forward in the name of protecting our privacy. Talk about hypocrisy. It was exactly the opposite.
Yeah, it is not privacy. It can be accessed. Such records can be accessed by any law enforcement official and, frankly, just about any medical official. It's something that we're still in the process of trying to make sure we understand under the terms of the so-called HIPAA law, Health Information Privacy Act. But as far as I can tell, HIPAA keeps me from knowing my wife's records if she can't sign off or something, but I think everybody else can.
And I think that is hypocrisy. They say one thing, they mean another. And it's all about control of the individual. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Larry Pratt talking about, of course, the attack on the freedom of the American people. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this afternoon is Larry Pratt, Gun Owners of America. And he's talking about this legislation that was enacted in a piece of legislation that nobody was allowed to read. Now, there's not one member of Congress who had read all the way through the so-called Stimulus Act. It was completed at 11 o'clock at night, not released until morning. And the Congress was told, we have to vote on this immediately. We don't have any time for debate. Oh, you can have a few hours for debate, but no time to really go through this. This is what, over 1,000 pages, something like that, at 700, 1,000 pages. Who knows how many pages there were, but it was something that nobody could analyze. And of course, one of the stipulations in there had to do with privacy. They want to protect the privacy of your medical records by making them available to any government agency that wants them. And of course, they're going to be up on the Internet. They're going to be electronically prepared. And what they want to know is every intimate detail about you out there in the listening audience. Just exactly as it is today, every time you use a credit card, there's a record of what you buy. Every time you use a grocery card or a Sears card, there's a record, an electronic record, in a similar manner that the telephone company keeps track of every telephone call that's made. In other words, there's a record, you've made the call, sent a fax, sent an email. All of this is recorded, but go right ahead.
Well, this is very sinister because this means that gun control and gun banning is going to increase, I would say exponentially. 150,000 veterans were already tagged when George Bush, actually it had been done illegally before they unconstitutionally legalized it, and George Bush signed it into law January last year, but now that this is going to extend to everybody, as the money flows and this starts to get done over probably the next 2 to 3 years, people are going to find that they can't renew concealed carry permits, can't buy another gun at a store from a federally licensed firearms dealer. And in fact, those two events, when they're turned down, could very well trigger a demand that they turn over their existing guns, particularly if they're denied a renewal of their concealed carry permit on the basis that they are a disqualified person.
Well, what basically this is all about for our listeners is this is if you've ever had an emotional problem, but then what's an emotional problem? Maybe you've been nervous. What about your wife or what about your husband? Maybe they had an emotional problem. Would that affect you? Could we have a gun in the house where somebody's emotionally unstable?
That's the ticket. Those are the kind of issues we're talking about. Yes, sir.
All right, of course, stations are all back, and Larry was just saying that we don't know what this legislation is, but they put out $20 billion for it. The congressmen were not allowed to know what was in the legislation. It was talking about medical record privacy. Now, who could be against that? But, of course, it was just exactly the opposite. It was making your medical records available to any government agency, and supposedly they're going to be available to anybody in the medical profession who wants to access and get information on you. The whole idea of this, isn't it wonderful? You go into the emergency room, you're comatose, and the doctor doesn't have to, you know, ask you what or ask your family. He'll have your medical records. No matter where you are in this country, he'll immediately have access to your medical records. Isn't that nice? But remember, the government's going to know, and this is what it's really all about, and already they're talking about limiting the ability of people if they've had any emotional problem. Now, what's an emotional problem? Well, maybe you've been nervous. So, well, obviously, that could potentially. So,
might be a danger to yourself or others.
Right, and then what happens if somebody in your home has had an emotional problem? Should you have a gun? Because they might get hold of it. And, of course, any person who's been in the military who's had an emotional problem, or, you know, maybe they're nervous in battle. Maybe they've had, you know, really been frightened by what's going on. They will never be allowed to have a gun in America again. You pick this story up, Larry. This is the most frightening sort of thing, and people don't understand. This has nothing to do with gun safety. It has nothing to do with saving lives. It's all about the move towards dictatorship. And that's the first thing you do before the dictatorship, you disarm the people. They did it in Rwanda. Remember what happened there? They did it in Armenia. Remember what happened in Armenia? They did it in Germany. They did it certainly. They did it in Russia. They did it in China. Go right ahead.
Well, that's exactly right. And this, remember, I think for us here in America, the key, in addition to this increasing number of people that simply will not be able to own a gun, we are talking about the principle of the disappearance of due process, because you'll be disqualified from owning a gun. Not on the basis of anything that occurred in a court. The government does not have to prove its opinion based on some medical record that you are a danger or might be a danger to self or others. They don't have to take you to court. They don't have to go through any adversarial procedure. The whole due process protection of individuals and individual rights is kerplunk with this. It got started in what we call the Veterans Disarmament Act, which unhappily, the NRA supported, because they think it's just fine that we have an instant background check. We saw that this was going to be the kinds of problems that would result back originally when the Brady Law went into effect, which means the NRA wrote the Brady Law. The Brady people had written a waiting period law, which then sunset after 5 years, and the NRA section, which we now suffer from, was the succeeding part, and that's what we're talking about having been expanded under Bush, but it really only hit veterans. Now with $20 billion in the government stimulus bill, it's going to hit hundreds of thousands of Americans. They're going to lose their rights without any due process. That's what really grabs me. It's just an amazing thing, because our political liberties, politically speaking, are based on this requirement of due process. How things, you know, if we're going to take our fellow American's liberty or his rights away from him, the government has to prove that case. All these due process protections on. But and it was done without even a recorded vote when the NRA supported it back in 2007 and Bush signed it in very early 2008. And now the money that's needed for this horrendous thing to go into operation has just been voted on as part of a, I don't know, I lost track, what, 800, 900
$787 billion. But you know, $1 billion here, $1 billion there.
Hey, you're talking about who's counting, right?
You're talking about worthless money, and this is what it's all about. What would medical privacy have to do with stimulating the economy and stopping the cascade of home foreclosures and people losing their homes? Absolutely nothing. But people have to understand the stimulus bill had nothing to do with trying to stop the collapse of our economy and the collapse of the world economy, but they got to give you the impression that you're trying to do something. The stimulus bill was to push the move towards a faster society, and this is one step along the way towards disarming the American citizenry, but they
Absolutely.
Do it just a little bit, a little here, a little there, a little elsewhere. And
just
so
just
like
to reinforce what you're saying, Stan, most of the money, some 60%, they say won't even be spent until after the next congressional election.
Right.
So how does that do anything for the immediacy, quote unquote, of a crisis? But the thing that just really torques me when they talk about how this was so urgent and they had to do something to staunch the collapse of capitalism, well, for one thing, the government expenditure of funds is what brings on a challenge to the capitalist system, because it takes money out of the system. Money is the lifeblood of individuals freely making their own decisions. The money then is transferred to the government, where they make the decisions, they get the power, they concentrate all these decisions, and as you say, that's fascism, and it could very well end up in communism. But at the moment, we're simply starving the private sector from its lifeblood, which is the free flow of capital, of money. But then we haven't had the free flow of capital and money since, what was it, 1913, when the Federal Reserve was put into law unconstitutionally. So they've been working at sucking the individual's ability to make decisions away from him for years and years. Let's keep in mind that a socialist government's paradigm is people standing in line to wait for what may be a stale loaf of bread available on a shelf when they finally are let into a store, a line that they might have been waiting to get into since very, very early in the morning. That is the goal of socialism.
Absolutely.
That's the goal of Barack Obama. If we are standing in line waiting for a maybe loaf of bread, then we can't be using our excess funds and contributing to candidates and working to beat Barack Obama and his party in the next election.
I think it's so interesting that he's going, of course, to pull the troops out in August of year 2010. Now, why would he want to pull the... why do we have to wait until August of 2010 to pull our troops out? Well, we're not going to really pull them out. We're going to leave 30 to 50,000 troops there because we're going to continue occupying Iraq and antagonizing the Muslim world. But why is he going to wait till August of 2010? Why doesn't he do it now? Because there's an election coming up in November of 2010 for a congressional election.
Yeah, it's pretty transparent.
I mean, people should understand how these things really work. But, of course, one of the worst things, of course, is this whole stimulus bill is a move towards socialized medicine, and it is not to provide health care for everybody. It is to ration health care to everybody.
It will be free, but it won't be available.
And it will be free, but it won't be available. And believe me, I've talked to the people who've lived under this sort of a system, and the only people who get immediate health care are the government bureaucrats. And as the professor of orthopedics told me in Edinburgh, Scotland, we have two sets of medical care. One is emergency. If you have an emergency, we'll take care of it. The other is elective. We never get around to that unless you're a commissar. That was his word. If
and
you
if
are
you
a commissar,
do have some money, if you for you know one of those handful in a socialist country that has money, then you can do what British people who are well off do. They fly over to the Czech Republic, where medicine is free from government intervention or relatively free, and they can have their medical needs addressed there. Or they find it even attractive to fly all the way to India, where at least people sort of speak English, and they have centers where they have good medical care, and it's not a socialized as it is in England, and so it's preferable to go halfway around the world.
And this is this is long-term planning. I'll never forget talking to a Reagan government official back, it was before, when Reagan was still in office, and I said, you know, this system is not going to work. Tell me, what's your real plan for medicine? He says, you don't want to know. And I said, yes, I do. He said, well, I'll tell you what, we're planning on a two-tier system. You know, there'll be the people who can afford health care, and then everybody else will get the inferior health care. This is what it's about. It's been planned going all the way back to Ronald Reagan. Believe me, ladies and gentlemen, the socialists have long-range planning. And it really doesn't matter whether you have the Democrats or Republicans in. I mean, certainly the Republicans are a little better on some of the issues, but the people who control both political parties are want gun control. And here's George Bush signing legislation that is going to limit the ability of people to have keep and bear arms, but he poses as a conservative. And then he signs legislation. He was the biggest spender we have ever had as president. He gave us the biggest federal deficits and trade deficits we've ever had. And he was a Republican. He did more to advance socialism with the No Child Left Behind and the Medicare drug bill and what he did. But, of course, he is a good Republican, and there's the wicked Democrats in power. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been had. Our guest today is Larry Pratt. And we're talking about, of course, what they snuck through in the supplement bill. Well, you're never going to hear about this from Rush Limbaugh, I bet. Anyway, of course, Rush talks a good game, but remember, they have to have a controlled opposition, have to control both sides, because you never want the truth to really come out. Why would the NRA write legislation that's detrimental to gun owners? Well, I will probably not be quite as kind as Larry Pratt will be, but I think that most of our organizations have been infiltrated, most of the conservative organizations, most of the Christian organizations. I believe Gun Owners America is on the front lines of this battle, and I think you can trust Larry Pratt and the people in that organization. Well, Larry, you picked the story up.
Well, sir, we are, in addition to looking at what was already snuck by us, we are looking at why I never thought and still continue to disbelieve that in spite of Barack Obama's webpage saying he wants the Clinton gun ban again, and in spite of his Attorney General Eric Holder saying that he wants the Clinton gun ban again, I don't see that happening in the short term. I see lots of mischief. We were already talking about the medical record mischief, and I see other things that they're going to do, but they're not going to be able to push through something that becomes labeled as gun control. Couple examples. There's a land grab that's been going on to give the Park Service, I don't know how many more million acres of land, which is just part of the Communist Manifesto, to have land controlled by the government. But you're talking about something that's got a little wrinkle in there that introduces the gun issue, because the Park Service is actually somewhat more anti-gun than some of the other bureaucracies of the federal government. And they've had a gun ban on park land until the waning days of the Bush administration, when they grudgingly said, well, okay, if you got a concealed carry permit in your state where the park is located, then you can have a gun in the park. But that doesn't help somebody that doesn't have a concealed carry permit. That doesn't help a hapless hunter who's, and here's a realistic scenario, driving along one of the eastern states where U.S. Highway 1 and or Interstate 95 run, that have been included in what's called the Washington Rochambeau Trail. They're making this, designating it park land. So, you know, Harry the Hunter's driving along on the State Road A, and he comes to the intersection with Route 1, and he turns north, and he enters the Washington Rochambeau Trail. He's violating the law. And if there were a roadblock or something like that, they could nail this guy. For what? For doing nothing. He he might have even been in one of the New England states where they don't really like you to have a gun at all, and he still would have been legal. All of a sudden, he's illegal because he's on parkland. Well, once we finally, it got through the Senate. It's called S-22. Got through the Senate in spite of our peppering the Senate with members' communications, email. But now in the House, they've been getting enough. And by the way, I should add that folks have been sending email because they got an alert from us that they subscribe to. It's a freebie. And all people have to do is go to gunowners.org. They can sign up for these free alerts. And then when something like this happens, they can be part of the effort to, if you will, rain on the socialist parade and slow gun control down. Well, in the House, they have 2 weeks running delayed a vote on this S-22, this land grab, because of the clear gun control component of it, and they can't figure out how to get it out without messing up the entire bill.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back.
Sure.
Yeah, this is Dr. Stan, and Larry is talking about a legislation that is going to, of course, to expand the federal parkland. In this parkland, of course, you can't have a gun. So you could be driving along a major freeway, you know, or a major highway. But, of course, if that's going through this land, why, you become a federal criminal because you've got a gun in the car. So, you know, this is all crazy. You're perfectly all right until you get into that area. So apparently the legislation's passed the Senate because of Gun Owners of America, and because there are enough people out there who really care about gun rights and gun ownership. Why, of course, the thing is tied up right now in the House, so they haven't been able to get it out. They've delayed the vote a couple of times because they realize the American people believe we should be free. The American people believe in the Second Amendment, even though the people who lead both political parties don't believe in the Second Amendment, but they have to sort of pay a lip service, you know, as if they're, oh my goodness, you know, we believe in the Constitution and freedom, but we want to protect people, you know. But it's not about protecting people. It's incrementally eroding freedom as we move from freedom to fascism. But you go right ahead, Larry.
Well, this example of S-22 that's been stalled in the House because of the gun issue related to the land grab should encourage all of your listeners that even in the face of the most determined Marxist president that we've ever had, and someone who would love to take everybody's guns away if he could possibly get away with it, nevertheless, the gun issue is strong enough. And the Democrat Party remembers what happened in 1994 when President Clinton pushed them into voting for the 1994 Clinton gun ban. It cost them control of the Congress. And Clinton several times said, mea culpa. If I hadn't done that, we wouldn't have lost control of the Congress. So they're remembering that, and the Blue Dogs, the so-called conservative Democrats, who were elected on the basis of, among other things, being pro-Second Amendment, are telling Pelosi and the other leadership of the House, if you want to vote on this, we're going to have to vote against it because of the gun issue. I mean, you know, Blue Dog Democrats, they don't have any problem with communist control of land, but they do not want to get caught voting against guns and against gun owners. And so that's the little problem, and it shows that we can still have an impact, a favorable impact, even in this hostile Congress. Now, one other related example. The District of Columbia has been seeking to have an unconstitutional vote in the U.S. House of Representatives for years. And the Congress decided that they just go ahead and pass a law giving them that vote unconstitutionally. Well, in the Senate, they didn't have the votes to stop that, but they did have the votes, 62-36, to put an amendment on this thing that pretty much guts the D.C. gun control law. They would go from the worst gun control law in the country to something kind of resembling Virginia gun laws, which, given what most Americans live under, is fairly tolerable in 21st century America. Well, this thought just absolutely mortifies the socialists who are running the District of Columbia, and they have been, well, they and their buddies in the Congress, in the House, now that the thing has come over to the House for their vote, they're saying, we're not going to vote in favor of D.C. voting if the gun control measure is in there. But then, on the other hand, the Blue Dogs, the so-called pro-Second Amendment Democrats, are saying, unless it's in there, we won't vote for it. And so they've pulled that thing off the calendar because, once again, once it became associated with gun control, the thing just came to a screeching halt. So please, folks, go to gunowners.org, sign up for the email alerts. You won't get more than a couple a week as a rule. And when you do, it'll make it easy to send an email off to your senators or to your representative, and that's what's at least slowing this stuff down right now. Now, they may try to pull some tricks, but we're there watching them, and they know they got a problem.
And that's really why I think what you do back there is so important, Larry, and this is why I want to give you a voice on it. Every month you'll be right here to keep our listeners aware of what's going on. And why don't you put out your website so people know how to get to it and how they can get those emails?
Gunowners.org. And just go there and sign up. It's the easiest free thing, and they'll be happy they did.
And, of course, the other thing is, of course, then all you do is they get the email alert. Why, everything's right there to send the email, and you get it off to your congressman and to your senator. It doesn't take you much time, but it is having an effect, especially when hundreds of thousands of people across America are sending them in. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Go right ahead, Larry.
So, words of encouragement, hopefully, that all is not lost if there's a good fight going on the gun issue, for sure. We can still make the Democrats hold back. Now, that doesn't mean we're out of the woods. Eric Holder has plenty of opportunity to do some really bad things because of laws that are already on the books that the Republicans never bothered to take off the books when they had the opportunity. Or, to be fair, there were too many liberal Republicans, perhaps, for them to have succeeded in stripping gun control off the federal books. But they could have put their colleagues on record, oh, but we might lose our Republican majority. Uh-huh. And what happened in 06 and 08? Looks like they lost it anyway. But however, had they behaved in a principled fashion, I think they would still have their majority, certainly if they had behaved in a principled fashion on all the points of the Republican platform. So anyway, we're stuck with, among other things, the 1968 Gun Control Act, which came right out of Nazi Germany, and we can thank the Jews for preservation of firearms ownership to have done the research to show that that's exactly what happened. It was Senator Thomas Dodd, the father of the current Senator Christopher Dodd, who had been a Nazi, a prosecutor of Nazis in Nuremberg, Germany, brought back the Nazi criminal code and had the gun control section translated by the Library of Congress, and Jews for Preservation of Firearms Ownership came into possession of a copy of the letter of transmittal back to Senator Dodd from the Library of Congress. Senator, here is your original of the German firearms law, and here's our translation of it. And within weeks, he had introduced that into the U.S. Congress as what we now know the 1968 Gun Control Act. One of the key, totally unconstitutional provisions of the Nazi measure that Thomas Dodd got voted into law here in this country was the provision that gives the federal government this unconstitutional power to say, oh, if we don't think a gun or a bullet is suitable for sporting use, it can't be imported.
Hold that thought. We're going to be right back here in just a moment with Larry Pratt. Yeah, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, Larry was just talking about the fact that the 1968 gun control federal law was actually a translation of the Nazi gun control law that Senator Thomas Dodd, the father of the current Senator Chris Dodd, Senator Thomas Dodd actually brought the Nazi law to the United States, had the Library of Congress translated into English, and got that enacted back in 1968. And certainly, the amazing thing is most people have never heard of it. We can thank the fellow who was Aaron, what's his last name?
Aaron Zellman, the fellow that heads up Jews for Preservation of Firearms Ownership.
And of course, he feels very strongly about this because he knows it was the disarming of the Jewish people and the German people that led to the Holocaust. And they're doing the same things here. They got the same laws. And we can thank Senator Dodd's father for translating that. The information's up there. But you're never going to hear about that from a lot of our commentators. Anyway, Chris, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY. And one more time, of course, I want you to put out your website and your telephone number so people can know how to get in touch with Gun Owners of America.
Well, thank you. The web address, pretty simple, gunowners.org. And the phone number, hopefully, is a little bit easy to remember, 888-88-6-GUNS. That's 888-886, and then the letters G-U-N-S. But gunowners.org is clearly where so much of the action is because you can, and we would encourage people to become a paying member. It's all at $20. They can do that at gunowners.org as well as get the free subscription to the email alerts. But what we do in the mail is more proactive, trying to build campaigns for things that are not happening right away. But the email enable us to respond to things that are happening right now, right away, where if we were to go into the mail, there simply wouldn't be time. The issue would be resolved before the mail even got taken to the post office, let alone before our members were able to get it and then send a postcard off to members of Congress. So the email is it's not the only way we battle, but it's certainly kind of like the Marines. It's it's the first group that can hit the beach, and sometimes that's the entire battle. We're dealing with an increasingly fast-moving pace. I must say there's a very interesting comparison. You look at what the Republicans did, and they did close to nothing for the time that they had control of the federal government. As I was saying, it wasn't entirely, it wasn't because it was as much as anything because of the liberal Republicans, but the leadership didn't want to force the issue, and so they just sat there. Meanwhile, the Democrats, even though they've got a lot of blue dogs who are balking at voting wrong on the gun issue, they hit the deck running. They had an agenda for their socialist programs, and within, what was it, less than a month, less than maybe 2 weeks or something like that, Obama gets this huge socialist stimulus bill through with all kinds of government power grabs in there. It's as if they hadn't been able to get something overtly done for any new stuff for the time that the Republicans had been in control or able to block even President Clinton. And so it was like a pent-up dam breaking, and they had their agenda ready to go. Republicans wouldn't even know how to spell agenda.
Okay.
I'm not sure they still know how to spell agenda. I think they think it's spelled P-O-R-K.
Well, of course, the problem is, of course, you had Newt Gingrich leading the Republicans, Newt Gingrich, member of the Council on Foreign Relations, a long-time New Ager, but, of course, he had to pose as a conservative. Who's got it better to lead the conservatives than somebody on the far left? But, of course, he talked the best game. Brilliant individual. But, of course, unfortunately, he said one thing, but, of course, he never did it. And you wonder why. It is not incompetence, ladies and gentlemen. Newt Gingrich knows exactly what he's doing. We've got John calling us from Tennessee, and again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. John, do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, Dan. Thanks for taking my call. I'm going to ask Larry if there has been a Supreme Court decision handed down in the last couple of weeks on the Second Amendment. I read in the New York Times that there was one, but it wasn't described too well.
Yeah, it was actually about middle of last year, at the end of June.
I'm talking about one in the last 2 weeks.
No, no, nothing in the last recent at all.
But I think, of course, certainly doesn't a lot of this revolve around, of course, this this right to have a weapon in Washington, D.C., and there are all sorts of shenanigans. I mean, even though the Supreme Court said that people have the right to have a weapon, and this Washington, D.C.'s gun laws were unconstitutional, they don't care what the Constitution says. They've got to go ahead and restrict them under one guise or another. Isn't that right?
That's the game. So there has been a challenge to that. Their response was to come up with a law that was just as bad, if not even worse, than the one they had before, after the court slapped their hands. And that's been taken to court, but it's not even gotten to the hearing at the district court, let alone an appellate court or the Supreme Court. So we're going to have to wait for a while.
And I think, John, when you read the New York Times, which you always want to count the pages, I don't even trust that page numbers there. I read the New York Times from cover to cover, but I understand it's trying to create my reality and distort my sense of what's right and wrong. Anything else?
Let me give you the citation. Okay, this is the New York Times for February 28, 2009. That was last Saturday. Page A18, the editorial page, and there's an editorial called Gun Sense and Nonsense, and the first paragraph says the Supreme Court brushed past flimsy arguments by the gun lobby this week to uphold an important restriction on gun ownership that protects public safety.
Yeah, what they're talking about is the dumping the would-be dumping of the D.C. law by a vote in the Senate, and that's what I was talking about a little earlier in the show, that this thing has now got the D.C. voting bill roadblocked over in the House. So that's the reference in that New York Times article.
Well, okay, John, does that answer your question?
No.
All right, fine. Why doesn't it answer it?
Because they're talking about a specific decision.
No, what
is it? A 7-2 decision upholding a law regarding domestic abuse.
Okay, now I know what you're talking about.
Gun rights,
not about D.C., but about this horrid Lautenberg gun ban, where in 96, packed away in a big appropriations bill, Senator Lautenberg was able to get an unconstitutional ex post facto gun ban enacted that said that whereas in the past you could only be deprived of your right to keep and bear arms if you had been convicted of a federal felony, well, a felony. And at the time in 68, felonies were pretty much murder, kidnap, rape, armed robbery, maybe two or three other things, and that was it. Lautenberg enormously expanded from an aggravated assault to a domestic violence assault. The two are very different. A felonious assault is where I punch you, you get a black eye, broken nose. A domestic violence assault may involve simply a push, a torn shirt, something of that sort, and that's why one was a misdemeanor and the other was a felony. Lautenberg went and made the misdemeanor into the same disqualification as had been the felony. And all at once, instant hundreds of thousands of Americans, cops and soldiers included, unable to buy a gun. Now, what the feds have been doing with Lautenberg's own fallacious, quote-unquote, recollection of what his law meant is to extend to all misdemeanor violence convictions, be they domestic or not. And so without any legislation, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and Explosives has been saying, well, and now the FBI, been saying, if somebody's got one of these convictions, that too disqualifies them. And we took, we went with Mr. Hayes to the Supreme Court. We had friends of the court brief pointing out that this is not what the legislation meant at all at the time. This is simply a bureaucratic mission creep that needs to be stopped. And only two of the judges could read English.
And when was that, Larry?
That was, like the gentleman was saying, that was just about, it's within the last month that the decision came down.
All right, fine.
Well, then that's what they're referring to.
That's what they're referring to.
It was called the Hayes case, and you can see our brief if you go to gunowners.org and you look for our foundation page, and you'll find a an actual posting of that brief that we submitted to the Supreme Court.
And who were the two? Who were the two judges who could read English?
Scalia and Roberts.
And Roberts, Thomas went for the other side.
Amazing. I mean, it just, you want to pull your hair out.
All right. God bless. Thanks very much, John. Good point. Let's go to Tom calling from Ohio. And once again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. Go right ahead. Tom? Gonna have to speak up there.
Ask Larry if he has a list of states that you can cross the line legally with, you know, if you're moving from state to state or something.
All right, fine. Basically, Tom, we don't have very good connection, but Tom said, do you have some sort of a list of states where you can and can't have a gun?
Can you hear me?
If you are truly moving, because that was the precise example that he's asking about, you could even go through Massachusetts, although try to avoid it if you can, but the federal law preempts state bans or requirements for this, that, or the other registration. So as long as you are traveling through that state, whether you're moving, whether you're going to some other place on vacation, whatever it might be, that gives you a defense against a place like Massachusetts nailing you. But you have to have the gun to use this federal defense. You have to have the gun locked and inaccessible. In other words, they don't want you to use it for self-defense. So under those terms, you can move through anywhere in the country with your firearms if they are properly immobilized and useless to you for self-defense.
In other words, they can't be loaded, or that's right?
Well, no, they can't be loaded. They'd have to be in a locked box, say, in your trunk. If you're a trucker, you'd have to have them as inaccessible as you possibly can make it. Again, as you say, unloaded and all the rest.
Okay, anything else, Tom?
Yeah, I want Hillary Tyranny.
Hey, pardon?
Tyranny Hillary.
All right, fine. very much. I appreciate it. And I think we got a real problem. Got a real problem, Tom. Okay, fine. That was Tom calling from Ohio and certainly pointing out that we're moving towards tyranny. And people say, well, oh, well, this could never happen in America. And I always like to reply, well, if God is just, can you give me one reason why God will not bring judgment on America?
And the thing that it couldn't happen in America, Stan, has always struck me as some kind of a national superiority that's just not warranted.
Amen.
And we're, you know, created being sons of Adam, sinful people, just like any other place in the world. And to think that somehow we can avoid the results of sinful and stupid and greedy behavior, which kind of describes socialism, among other things, well, that's just that's insupportable. That's an argument that you can't win.
You know, I think one of my listeners wrote better. He said, you know, if you look at the history of mankind, men have always, certainly suppressed other men. There's always been those who wanted to take away freedom. We've lived in the most wonderful country during the most wonderful times. But why would we think they're going to continue? If they've never continued at any other time in history, why would they continue here, especially now in a country that's repudiated the God of the Bible? Well, let's go to Lynn, who's calling us from Toronto, Canada. Hi, Lynn. How are you doing?
Hi. How are you doing?
Doing just great.
Terrific. I just wanted to call regarding, as you say, the socialism issue and this greedy environment, too, because more and more I'm hearing negatives, so if anyone's involved in the environment, they go, aha, again, this is one of the socialists working toward the downfall of the society. And I'm saying, yeah, but I'm just a parent. I want my kids to be in a city where they can breathe the air, et cetera, et cetera. Just sort of common sense stuff.
Sure.
You shouldn't have all the frogs dying and our bees. So I just wonder.
But all the bees are dying, Lynn. Bees are dying because I believe they know exactly why they're dying. But anyway, do you have a question for our guest?
Yeah, so I just wondered, is there any, like the people who don't have an agenda and, who are involved in the environment, what's the best way to continue fighting for what's proper and not appear to be some sort of an extremist?
Well, that's a little off the subject, but my personal feeling is that the environmental movement is being misused. There are a lot of good people in it, but it's being misused for very wicked purposes to increase government control over every aspect.
Bingo. You just said, I think, the answer. Because you can do things as an individual to your own conscience, according to your own conscience, to be sensitive to the environment. And in fact, I'm one of those. My neighbors put chemical fertilizer on their lawn, and I don't. And yet mine looks just as good as theirs because I found alternate ways. But I don't think I should be making a law telling them how to fertilize their lawn either.
Well, I think it's certainly that air pollution laws are fine. But of course, actually they're really poisoning our water, they're poisoning our food, and these issues we never talk about. And this is a little off our subject, but thanks very much, Lynn. Yes, I think that the environmentalists have done some good things, but they do not understand they're being manipulated by people who have a different agenda. God bless, and let's go to Dan calling from Pennsylvania. Dan, hang on here. We'll be back with you in just a moment. Our guest has been Larry Pratt, Gun Owners of America. The telephone number is 888-886-GUNS. 888-886-GUNS. All right, Dan, you got just a couple of minutes. Do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, I do. A question and a comment. Actually, you kind of brought it out. I look at the philosophy of Charlton Heston out of my cold, dead hands. And I had a call from NRA when I was a member of NRA. They called me up and they said, we need some money. And I said, I'll tell you what, if Mr. LaPierre wants me to do something, I'll be glad to go down to Washington, D.C. and give him all my ammunition first. And she got a laugh out of that. And she said she's got to tell her supervisor. But, I hope it doesn't come to that. And what you said, Dr. Stan, I thought was very interesting, that you have, God open. If there's a flood coming, God will open up the earth and swallow the flood. And that is in my mind, that is the flood that comes toward the Christians, the people of understanding, the elect people. He will open up and swallow them up. Now, the rest of the world is on their own. How do you feel about that?
How do you feel about that, Larry?
Well, you talk about environment getting us off the gun issue. This certainly can easily qualify. My own view is that we know that there's always been judgment when people do bad things, and God doesn't ignore these things, and there are consequences. When those are going to happen or how exactly they're going to happen, I'm not a prophet, but I can tell you that they will happen. and for America to assume that it can just go off on its merry way and do what we're doing right now, for example, and assume that there won't be any consequences and that the markets aren't going to collapse and that there's not going to be hardship and there's not going to be tyranny, when in fact everything we're doing is producing more of just those things, then I think there's really no argument. What the timing and the precise mode will be my guess, but I don't think I like the idea that the judgment is certain.
I think, Dan, one thing I would point out is that the rain falls on the just and the unjust. And believe me, if this country goes down, why, we're all going to lose probably everything we have materially. But faith in the Lord, even if we die, we know we're going to spend eternity. Our job is to stay in there and be involved as long as we can. And that's what Larry's doing. That's what I'm doing. Go ahead.
One more thing, Dr. Stan. A people cannot revolt without knowledge of why they're doing it.
And that's why we're doing what we're doing. We're trying to get
people educated. I know, but that message is getting smeared by Glenn Beck.
Hey, we're out of time. God bless. And so, Larry, we're out of time.
Well, thanks for the show, Dan. Stan, I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, and we'll look forward to talking to you again next month. Okay, bye-bye. Okay, our guest has been Larry Pratt. We got a little off the track there on a couple of the calls, but I think the information is there. Gun Owners of America is on the front lines, and we should do everything we can to help and support them. Are there really people who want a dictatorship? Absolutely. But these people are coordinated by dark spirits of forces, and if you haven't yet seen the DVDs, The Secret Mysteries of America, Riddles in Stone, The Eye of the Phoenix, which is the latest one, goes into the significance of what's on the back of the dollar bill. The Atlantis Connection, which is made actually by the producers, which actually we interview the producer. He talks at our conference, Chris Pinto, or the man who produced those three previous videos. But when he gave his talk, it was on the Atlantis Connection, and we have Constance Cumby on the Emergence and a 4-tape set with Constance talking about, of course, what the people on the other side say about the coming of what they call the Maitreya, and I would call the Antichrist. And then, of course, for the spiritual aspect of what's going on, we hope that many of you will want to get the 5 DVD sets. There's 2 of them in the final countdown. There are 10 DVDs altogether. And so you're going to hear a sermon, but you're going to have all of the scriptures there on the screen for you to read. And then, of course, you're going to have the video clips. And the video clips really are what makes it so much more interesting, because you can see with your own eyes the things that are coming to pass. So that's the final countdown, part 1, part 2. We have the same thing with his material on the creation. It's 10 DVDs. And then on RFID identification, that is actually 4 DVDs in one set. So call us at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we'd suggest, if you have not laid in a supply of long-term food, if you'd like to get a catalog, well, we'd be glad to send you one, but don't put it off, because we never know what the future is going to hold. If you don't have a Berkey water purifier, water filter, why, you really ought to have one. Fellow called this morning, you can get a couple of them, and I think it's a good idea to have them and extra filters. We do not know what the future holds for any of us. We suggest people lay in a supply of health products. And, of course, these would be the vitamins and minerals and other things that would be in short supply. And then, of course, we hope many of you will get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. My talk, it was just on DVD, called The Forbidden Secret, which will really help you to put things into perspective about what's really happening today. And there's a syllabus that goes with that. Our talk on the planned police state and the syllabus that goes with that. Our talk on the concentration camps, basically, is not a formal talk. It's simply the 4-tape set, and then there's a DVD, and then there's, of course, the concentration camp special, where you'll actually see the congressman talking about the fact that there really is a plan in case of a national emergency, to round up the American people and put them in concentration camps. And you must get others to understand what's coming down the line. And hopefully in the process, they're going to be looking for a solution. And yes, we have to be involved politically. Yes, we have to be concerned financially. But the most important thing is our personal relationship with the Lord. And you may very well die before this is over. You may see terrible, terrible things happen. But we have to be true to our Lord, because this truly is a spiritual battle that's being fought on a political and ideological and cultural battlefield. And then, of course, we do hope you'll go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com, where you can actually listen to our programs there 9 hours a day or 4 hours a day live. The rest of it, of course, is our satellite feed. And then, of course, you can watch our DVDs at radioliberty.com. We've got an excellent news section. It has to do with the with links to YouTube or Google videos that we think you should see. And then, of course, you can read our letters there. And there's all sorts of essays and other material. But go to radioliberty.com. Encourage others to do that, to get involved. They may start out thinking we're crazy, but before long, I can assure you, they'll be afraid we're not. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Please pray for Radio Liberty.